This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Well, I think we're ready to go, so why don't we call our meeting back to order, and we're going to start with number 17 on this revised agenda, public access opportunities.
Commissioner Jensen, sorry to interrupt. Do we need to do a roll for the day?
Yes, good idea. Okay.
We'll get started here. Commissioner B.
Here.
Commissioner Locken.
Here.
Commissioner Olson.
Here.
Mr. Sharp.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Whitmire.
Here.
And Jensen.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thanks. Now we can go to number 17, public access opportunities.
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Tom Kirsch, Wildlife Division Director. For this one, Mark Norton, who is our Farm Bill and Access Coordinator, is going to take the lead in providing you this information. So that I'll turn it over to Mark and we'll proceed.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Jensen and fellow members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. My name is Mark Norton, and as Tom mentioned, I am the Hunting Access and Farm Bill Coordinator for Game, Fish, and Parks. Go ahead to the next slide. You can probably click to Ed Hull. Today I'm going to talk to you about our hunting access opportunities for the 2020 fall hunting season. Overall, statewide, there's about 5 million acres that are publicly accessible for hunting opportunity. I'm going to focus specifically on the private land acres that we lease for public hunting access, which there are a little over 1.4 million acres. These are all working farm and ranch acres. And so wildlife habitat is part of their operation, but not the specific goal for most of them. But they all provide varying different types of hunting opportunity across the state. And you can see we have a pretty wide distribution of private land all across the state, at least for public hunting access. Next. We have five programs that we utilize to lease private land. The largest of which is our Walk and Air program, or WIA, on this table. And you can see over time, over the last 5 years, how we've added acres to most of these programs. We also have the CREP program located in the James River watershed area, our Controlled Hunting Access program, or CHAP, which offers a different type of access where the landowners actually can limit the amount of hunters that access the property by day or by type of hunting. We also have the Lower Oahe Waterfall Access Area located just north of Pier, more geared towards waterfall hunting opportunity in the late fall as Canada geese move into Lake Oahe and the Pier area. And we also have an elk hunting access program, largely focused in the Black Hills, but there are also a few pieces of private land located out on the prairie units that provide hunting access on private lands for elk. And so over the last 5 years, combining all these different programs, we have added over 55,000 acres of public access to private land. Next. A large focus of our hunting access programs is creating access to undisturbed habitat, which is things like land enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program, or Wetland Reserve Program, or some other conservation program that's creating taller grass cover, which also includes wetlands, cattails, woody habitat, things of that nature that are more targeted at pheasant hunters. If you look at this graph, you can see back in about 2006, the walk-in area program itself peaked at about 180,000 of undisturbed habitat acres being leased. And at a similar point in time, the Conservation Reserve Program was at a more recent peak of about 1.5 million acres in South Dakota. And since then, that program has declined to about 1 million acres statewide. And you can see the walk-in, those undisturbed acres through the walk-in area program declined at a very similar rate through 2013. Kind of halfway through there, we were able to initiate the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, which enabled us to partner with USDA to add acres of CRP to South Dakota's James River watershed that were also open to public hunting and fishing access, and buoying the amount of undisturbed habitat acres on private land that were open to public hunting access. And that's indicated by the brown color shade on the graph. And combined, we will have just under 220,000 acres of undisturbed habitat leased for public hunting opportunity this year. Next. Another component of our walk-in area program is our co-op areas, which are whole farm units that are targeted in parts of the state where we have large numbers of waterfowl staging through the fall migration. So we have a lot of it up around Bitter Lake, some in Brown County and around Sand Lake National Wildlife Refuge. And then there are a few portions here in central South Dakota to kind of add a little more waterfowl opportunity around the lower Owyhee area. And then there are a few parcels down around Springfield area just north of the Missouri River. And so you can see over time we've added acres to the walk-in area program through this type of access. And then in the last few years, actually, we've transitioned some existing walk-in areas into this type of hunting opportunity. And this allows duck hunters to drive onto harvested crop ground to drop off all their decoys and blinds and gears like that in harvested crop fields. And it also allows hunters with disabled access permits to drive onto those harvested fields and hunt from their vehicles. It does offer more than just waterfowl or field waterfowl hunting opportunities. A lot of times, like I said, this is a whole farm type lease, and so there are pieces of CRP or shelter belts or wetlands that provide hunting opportunity for pheasants and deer as well. Next. So all of our access programs are primarily delivered by 34 wildlife conservation officers. They meet with the landowners. They evaluate the property that they would like to enroll in the program. They determine what the annual lease payment will be. They do the contracts with them, and they review them year to year and renew those walk-in area contracts from year to year. All of our law enforcement staff also enforce laws on these public hunting access areas as a normal part of their duties every year. And our regional land management crews, along with any seasonals and interns that we hire each summer, take care of all the posting of the boundaries in the fields and maintaining of the signs on those boundaries. Next, we also utilize 12 Pheasants Forever Farm Bill biologist positions that are co-located within USDA offices across the state. They're in there working with private landowners to sign them up into conservation programs. And the busiest program that they work with is the Conservation Reserve Program. And so they're ideally situated to have that conversation with those landowners as they're enrolling land into CRP to also talk to them about enrolling it into one of our hunting access programs. And we've depended heavily on these farm bill biologists for all of the land that's been enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, which was done between 2010 and 2013. This year is the first year that some of those contracts are expiring. They've had their 10-year contract period, and those farm bill biologists, again, are very busy re-enrolling those CREP contracts for another 10 to 15 years. A few of those Pheasants Forever farm bill biologists are also heavily involved in their local community-based habitat and access programs. I have another slide on that a little bit later, but they work with their local Pheasants Forever chapter as well as the other businesses in their communities to raise funds to offer additional incentives to landowners to place their CRP lands into our walk-in area hunting access program. After those contracts are signed up by the farm bill biologists, our conservation officers and resource biologists maintain the contracts afterwards. Next, we also have one hunting access program coordinator that manages all these different programs and contracts, makes sure all the cooperators are paid, and works with our communications and GIS staff to make sure the maps are accurate and updated from year to year, and also trains and assists all those who deliver the programs. Next. So what makes a piece of land eligible for the walking area program? So there's two main components. Number one is there has to be public access to the property. If the public can't get to it, we're not going to enroll it into a public hunting access program. And the other thing is it has to provide a justifiable hunting opportunity that's determined by that local staff member who evaluates the property at the time they go to sign it up. Next, so there's what are a few examples of justifiable hunting opportunity. So we've already been talking about undisturbed habitat and conservation programs. That one's maybe one of the easier justifiable reasons. But we know it's in a long-term conservation program. We know it's going to be creating good habitat that's going to be desirable for hunters to access to hunt. it doesn't have to provide hunting opportunity for any certain species. It can provide hunting opportunity for a variety of species. And in some cases, it may primarily be for one type of species, like in the case of those co-op areas or even some of our walking areas in western South Dakota that are primarily signed up for antelope hunting. But they also provide some opportunity for other game species, like pheasants or grouse or big game, things like that. And all in all, if you look at walking areas all across the state, most of them provide opportunity for multiple game species. And that obviously ranges as where those different game species exist across the state. It may provide access to a piece of landlocked public land. It may also provide an additional access point to some other existing public hunting lands. A lot of times we've got long tracks, especially along the Missouri River, where we may only have an access point every 10 miles, and enrolling a piece of land in between there somewhere into the Walker and Air program can provide a valuable additional access point to some of that pretty good hunting opportunity on some existing public lands. And many times we enroll properties that from the road may not look like they're all that good to hunt, but out of sight from the road there are some corridors or pockets of undisturbed habitat that provide some excellent hunting opportunities. Next. So every year our conservation officers, as a part of the regular duties, are they're monitoring both the habitat condition on all of our walking area lands and the amount of use that they get by hunters. And this helps them determine what that payment should be going forward, or in the cases of undisturbed habitat, if it's been hayed or something like that, we can reduce that payment. Just the way our contracts are structured, that if the habitat is removed or hayed that year, we can reduce that annual payment appropriately. And then also through that evaluation, they can determine if it's not getting any use or it doesn't have any opportunity anymore, maybe something's changed over time that they don't re-enroll that particular piece of property in future years. Next. We also utilize regional review teams made up of habitat managers, regional supervisors, biologists, conservation officers. It varies by each region, and those regional review teams are determined by each regional supervisor. But they evaluate any walking area offer that is going to be a new walking area larger than 1,500 acres or that is requesting a payment, an annual payment, higher than what our payment guidelines are. So that it's not all on just that local conservation officer or resource biologist if this is a special case type offer through our walking area program. And we get multiple points of view and lots of questions answered to make sure that we are paying an appropriate amount and getting a justifiable hunting opportunity with each and every one of these walking areas. Next. Last year, we launched the Public Hunting Land Comment Recorder on our website. This is a tool that allows us to get to specific locations on where a comet being submitted. Hunters or the public can go to that thing, put a spot on the map, and leave a comment on a particular walk-in area. Last year, we had over 130 comments that were submitted. We received multiple comments that were just thankful for the land and being in the walk-in area program, and thankful for the landowners that were cooperating with us to open their lands to public hunting access, and just gratitude for the program existing in and of itself and all the opportunities that it provides to the public. Many stated that without lands enrolled in the walk-in area program, they wouldn't have any place to go hunt. It also enabled us to directly answer many questions about specific walk-in areas. Why was a piece of land in the program to begin with? Why is there cattle grazing on a walk-in area? Why do you have crop ground in walk-in areas? Are some of those common questions that we were able to directly have a conversation with those commenters about on each specific areas and help them understand why a particular piece of land was in the walk-in area. And it also resulted in us removing a few walk-in areas for 2020 that we determined were offering very little hunting opportunity. Next. So every year, all of our access programs are also reviewed by our access committee, which is made up of conservation officers, habitat biologists, regional SUPs, our GIS staff, and a member of the GFP commission. We go through payment structure. We go through all the comments that we've received, our conservation officers received, or our staff have received from both hunters and landowners participating in these programs, and we make tweaks or changes to those programs as we deem appropriate to make it a better fit for hunters and a more justifiable hunting opportunity for all the everybody. Next. We also evaluate our walk-in area program approximately every 5 years by doing a hunter evaluation of walk-in area survey. The last one that we did was in 2015, and in just some overview summary results of that, we found that about 40% of our hunters hunt walk-in areas, 73% of those were satisfied with the program, and 98% of those indicated that they would hunt walk-in areas again in the future. Simple math is 2020 is about 5 years later, and we've started the conversations and prepping for a 2020 evaluation of the walk-in area program that, if everything works out, will be going out shortly after the fall hunting seasons, yet this winter. Next. I wanted to show you the flux, the change in lands over time that come in and out of the walk-in area program and our conservation or our controlled hunting access program, the CHAP program. You can see between 2016 and 2020, about 128,000 acres came out of those programs, and about a little over 180,000 acres were added to the program. So you can see this happens statewide. It's not concentrated in any one part of the state, and there's a lot of work that goes into these leases every year all across the state. Each one of these that came out or came in has its own story, reasons why it left or was added to the program. Most of the reasons that they were added to the program fall into those under those justifiable hunting opportunities. Some of this stuff is new CRP enrollments. some of it that left was maybe it was poor quality or poor hunting opportunity, or a participant sold their land, or the habitat conditions changed. Maybe it was in CRP program, that CRP contract expired and it went back to crop ground and it no longer was offering the hunting opportunity that we had signed it up for. There's other various reasons. There you can see a big block in Butte County that was taken out, and that's a temporary removal for the construction of a wind farm out there, and we anticipate those acres coming back in next year. So there's just a lot of different factors every year that goes into each and every one of these contracts. Next. Here's a image of how the payment ranges across the state for the Walk on Air program. You can see it ranges from a low of 53 cents an acre in western South Dakota to a high of around $10 an acre in central and southeastern South Dakota. And it's dependent on the opportunity, the size of those contracts, and the proximity to some of our population centers. You can see that around Sioux Falls, we have to pay more to get opportunity on private land, and a lot of that stuff is CRP only down in that neck of the woods. Similarly, in Lyman County, one of the premier destinations for pheasant hunters in South Dakota is Lyman County, and we pay a higher annual payment right there to secure CRP acres into the Walk on Air program. Next. So one of the ways we also add acres of undisturbed habitat to our access programs is by utilizing voluntary public access and habitat incentive grants through USDA. This year we received our third grant, $2.175 million grant that we can use over the next 3 years to offer incentives to the landowners to enroll quality habitat into a game, fish, and parks hunting access program. We added another component to this grant this year that we're also able to utilize those grant funds to incentivize fishing access on private lands as well. Next. I mentioned the community-based habitat and access programs earlier when I was talking about the Farm Bill biologists. There are three communities in the state that currently have these, Aberdeen, Mitchell, and the Chamberlain communities, Chamberlain-Ocoma. And they have been successful putting an additional incentive on top of our annual payment and our incentive payments to do multi-year walk-in area contracts on CRP. Pheasants Forever is also actively fundraising currently to provide additional funding for these existing community-based access programs, as well as provide funding to different communities that would like to do this but haven't been able to generate funds locally yet. Next. The James River Watershed CREP has been a valuable tool for us to provide public hunting access to quality habitat in the heart of the eastern South Dakota, where pheasant hunting has always had a lot of pheasant hunting pressure, where there's always been good pheasant populations. So through September 30th this year, we'll have just under 81,000 acres in CREP. 19,000 acres of those are set to expire. As I mentioned, the Farm Bill biologists are busy re-enrolling those acres that are interested in re-enrolling, and it looks like we will have at least 16 to 17,000 acres of those being enrolled in another 10 to 15 years. This program costs the department about $3 million a year in annual payments to CREP participants. We suspended enrollment at that low 80,000 enrollment level in 2014, as our budget originally was $3 million to get to 100,000 acres. Over those 3 years of enrollment, land values increased, rental rates increased, and our $3 million ended up only being able to lease a little over 80,000 acres. However, we're currently working with USDA to open new enrollments so that we can get to the 100,000 acres that we originally intended to do when we entered into the James River Watershed CREP agreement. And this is made possible because of the habitat stamp that was created this last year in the legislature. Next. Another component that has been linked to our private land hunting access programs is unlocking existing locked public land. So in 2016, we identified there was about 300,000 acres of school and public lands and Bureau of Land Management that were inaccessible to the public. There was no direct access off of a road to get to these parcels. And since then, we've worked with adjacent landowners to unlock almost 32,000 acres of those landlocked lands. And you can see they're made up of various different types of land ownership and management, from BLM to school and public land, as well as the U.S. Forest Service and their national grasslands and forest lands, and even improved or unlocked some pieces of game production areas and waterfowl production areas in that time. In doing so, we utilized walk-in area and CHAP agreements with adjacent landowners on over 36,000 acres of private land to get access to those landlocked pieces. And this image here is an example of one of the newest walk-in areas that was signed up in 2020, a 9,000-acre walk-in area in Hardin County, unlocking 2,500 acres of school and public lands and Bureau of Land Management land. We've also been successful in a few cases of working with adjacent landowners to agree to maintain signage, a parking lot, or a access trail to get the public access to other parcels of landlocked public land. Next. We make the public and hunters aware of all of these different properties through the annual printing of our public hunting atlas. And we have various digital versions of that located on our website through interactive maps, updates to the printed atlas. That's a snapshot in time sent to the printers in July. And every year there is some changes on late exits from the walk-in area program or late additions to the walk-in area program. We're still currently signing up land into the walk-in area program. We did a mailing to all the Wetland Reserve Program participants this summer once we found out we were awarded that voluntary public access grant. And we still have numerous different contracts that are in negotiation or in the process of being signed up yet for this fall. And so those updates to the printed map can be a valuable asset to hunters as well. We also have our outdoors app and downloadable layers for certain Garmin units and Google Earth. We also create a layer that can be utilized through an Avenza Maps app, which is a very handy geo-reference statewide map that allows you to determine where you're at, even if you don't have cell phone coverage where you're at. And then also, we commonly get requests for county-based maps of the hunting atlas. And this allows the public to go and print them print them off and use them if they want. Next. So some of the improvements we made in 2018, I talked to you guys about the green outline being added to walk-in areas that have undisturbed cover, like CRP. This allows hunters to narrow their search when they're looking at for a walk-in area that has CRP. You can see on this map some have green outlines and some don't. Those that don't are likely rangeland or crop ground or something that is more regularly managed than it has the cover. The cover wouldn't be as thick as something with a green outline on it. Technology allowed us to do more with our online maps. We've created walk-in area frequently asked questions that are included in the hunting atlas. They're posted on our website, and we share them with social media. Next. So in the future, we're going to keep utilizing comments received from that public comment. We're going to do more targeted letters to CRP participants and WRP participants about the signing bonus opportunity to put their land in walk-in. Continue partnering with Pheasants Forever to incentivize CRP through the community-based hunting access programs. Enroll as much of our CREP as it expires as possible. Fully enroll 100,000 acres of CREP and keep working on targeted areas of landlocked public land to create more public hunting opportunity. Next. And that's what I have for you this morning, and I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mark. Any questions?
Comments? Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had one question. Great presentation. Absolutely love it when we're talking about public access and what we're working towards to add even more of it to our program. When you spoke about the committee that reviews annually the program as far as land that may come in and out, I think you mentioned it was different staff members, one commissioner, and this may be a question that's maybe for Deputy Secretary Roebling, might be above your pay grade, but why don't we have someone on that review committee that's a member of one of our sportsmen's groups?
In the past, we have had the South Dakota Wildlife Federation participate in those committees as well. And I guess it just varies on if they're available to come to that annual program review committee.
Hey, good morning, Commissioners. Deputy Secretary Roblin here. And I think that is a great recommendation, Commissioner Olson, and we can definitely look into that. It's great to have the boots on the ground perspective regarding, you know, the folks that are utilizing those properties, and a lot of our staff utilize those properties as well. And yeah, we'll definitely look at that invitation and make sure we get some representation there. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Spring.
I think it was the walk-in area deal is a great deal. There's lots of opportunity. It's a program that was started a long time ago, and it's really, really caught on. The only only thing I have problems with is some of the big game hunting on walk-in areas. It is some that was next to my property, and out here in western South Dakota with deer, some of the conservation part of it was just completely lost because someone have come out of CRP or out of, well, come out of the walk-in area 7 years ago. And as of last year, a 10,000 acre chunk, there was still no deer there. I mean, it completely wiped out the herd. There was only four head on 10,000 acres when I hunted it. And I think that in some areas, in some ways, we need to control the amount of hunting on some of it, because I think the conservation part of it is just completely kicked out. And it might not be that way in most areas, but some areas is tremendously overhunted. And I just, as a conservation type person, I'd like to see a change in some of that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, thank you, Mark. That was excellent. We'll go to 19, I believe, AIS discussion.